Right, we were looking last week at the subject of joy. I thought we'd consider this evening the subject of zeal. What is zeal?
That's what I've been listening.
If you watched certain programs on the television this afternoon,
we don't have a television.
If you watched certain programs on the television this afternoon, you would see certain persons being very zealous. Some were very sad in their zeal, and some were very elated in their zeal. In this village, there are a lot of people who are very sad in their zeal tonight because they support Manchester United. There are people in the village who even have Manchester United tattooed on their arms. And they will be very sad because Manchester United lost to Leicester 5-3. And people get very excited about their football teams. Some people get very excited about their computers. Some people get very excited about film stars. Some people get very excited about all sorts of things. You can see how these people are very zealous for the things that they like. There are a group of people who represent the Watchtower Society. They call themselves, erroneously, Jehovah's Witnesses, and they come round and knock on people's doors. And they are very zealous to tell you all about the Watchtower Society's beliefs, erroneous as they are. They are very zealous. That gives you a hint as to what zeal is. If you look it up in a dictionary, you will get eagerness, enthusiasm, ardour, fealty. You'll all sit there thinking, what's fealty? Fidelity, love, loyalty, and devotion. Now, the very fact I mentioned the JWs shows that you can be very zealous, but very wrong. The people who are chopping people's heads off at the moment would say they are very zealous Muslims. But they are wrong. What they are doing is erroneous. So zeal is something that can be good, and it is something that can be bad. You turn to Numbers, chapter 25. We read about someone who was full of zeal. Numbers 25, verse 10. It's headed, in this translation, the zeal of Phinehas, or Phinehas. And the Lord said to Moses, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the people of Israel, in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not consume the people of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and to his descendants after him the covenant of a perpetual priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made atonement for the people of Israel. So he was very keen in sorting out a situation and stopping people being immoral by worshipping Baal. And this pleased God, and so God made this promise to him. The word zeal does not appear there, but it's sort of synonymous with jealous, because the way the word jealous is used here, it is more in the sense of zealousness rather than of, oh, I wish I had that. He was very zealous for the things of God. Paul, when he was still Saul, before he was converted, says he was very zealous. If you turn to Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1, verse 14. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age, among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. Paul was very enthusiastic about the traditions of the fathers. In chapter 4, verse 17, he writes about the Judaizers. They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you. These people were concerned, they were zealous for getting the Galatians to follow the Judaizers. They were very keen, they were very eager, they were very enthusiastic to make the Galatians just like them. Paul talks about uninformed zeal with regard to the Jews in general in Romans chapter 2. Sorry, Romans chapter 10, verse 2. He's talking about God's sovereign choice, and he says in chapter 10, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. It's an ignorant zeal. You get people who are very zealous, they would say for the things of God, and they would say, I think that this religious building should be painted because it's a horrible mess. Look at the stains on the wall. This is not honouring to God. We should paint it. The reason why we have not had revival in this place for so long is because we have neglected painting the walls. And they're very zealous about such things, even though such things have nothing to do, biblically, with whether or not God blesses. God is not concerned about temples built by hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed them. But there are people who believe these things, and they think that buildings are important. They're very zealous for the buildings, thinking they are being zealous for God. But it's uninformed because the Bible does not teach that. Now, when you talk to people about being zealous, they often think, therefore, you must be either a fanatic or a fundamentalist. And they use those words almost synonymously. And when they speak in that way, what they are trying to communicate is that you are a complete raving loony, and really you've probably got an axe in your back pocket, and that you're ready to slice someone's ear off at the very least, unless people do what you say. So being zealous can easily be misinterpreted. To be zealous, to be enthusiastic for the truth, will lead people to think you're a nutter. They think that Christians who are real Christians and who talk about the gospel to others carry around with them the biggest Bible they can manage, in order that when they meet someone they can bring it down upon their heads and say, repent. in order that somehow it might do them some good. It is, of course, a complete caricature. Why carry around a great big Bible? It's totally unnecessary. And what's the point of beating someone around the head? It doesn't do them any good. But this is how unbelievers like to characterize those who actually believe something, know what they believe, and know why they believe it. In the 18th century, the equivalent word was enthusiast. Now, we talk today about people who are railway enthusiasts, or aircraft enthusiasts, or enthusiasts for this, that, or the other, and we don't think anything about it. You might think, well, these are strange hobbies that people have, but they're quite innocuous. That's not the way the word enthusiast was used in the 18th century. Enthusiast was the equivalent of zeal, which was the equivalent of fanatic or nutter, someone who was a complete raving loony, and we really want nothing to do with these people because they are not going to be helpful at all. They are ranters, they are ravers, they are people who probably should be locked away under the Mental Health Act. These are people who are wide-eyed, and they go around going, not the sort of person you really want to have anything to do with. This is the way the world often deals with people who are zealous for the truth. It caricatures them and makes them out to be what they are not. But zeal is something that should be associated with all true believers. Often it's thought that zeal is something that, well, the minister obviously must be zealous, missionaries must be zealous, but I'm just ordinary, so I don't need to be zealous. I don't need to be that enthusiastic. I'll just happily come along to church once or twice a week, and that's it. Don't want to go to church every day and spend every waking hour that I can with my nose in the Bible. Again, a caricature, misrepresenting what the Bible is teaching. When the Bible talks about zeal, it's not saying that that is how we should behave all the time. What the Bible does say is that we are all members of the Church of God. We are all priests. We are all members of God's army. And therefore, as members of an army, we all should work at the various duties and responsibilities as God has given them to us. When Jesus writes to the churches of Asia Minor, we read about Ephesus in chapter 2 of Revelation. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. You are not as zealous as you were. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the work of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So there was some degree of zeal in dealing with this particular error, but there were so many ways in which they had become lazy and comfortable. It's interesting that the world never complains when you're nice. You can be zealous for being nice. The world never complains when you are helpful to people. The world never complains when you do the things the world likes you to do. You can be very zealous about all those things, but the moment you start to talk about the gospel, you are zealous for explaining the gospel to people, suddenly you become a fanatic, which is rather sad. What should we be zealous for? Should we be zealous for congregationalism? Should we be zealous for this, that, or the other? You do find there are people who are very zealous for their own particular group. But as far as the scriptures are concerned, we should be zealous for the scriptures. We should be zealous for the scriptures in studying them and understanding them. Now, immediately someone says, it's all right for you, you can sit at home and study the Bible all day long, and I have so little free time. Fair enough. Being zealous for the scriptures doesn't mean you spend every waking hour with your nose in the Bible. What it means is that you are concerned to know what God has said, and you give as much time as you are able to the study of the scriptures, not every single moment of every day. For some people that means a few minutes a day. Other people it might be an hour. Might be more. But don't think that you are better than others because you are able to spend longer than some who just do not have as much free time. But we should be zealous for knowing what God has said. We should be zealous for God and knowing him better, not merely in reading his word, but also in conversing with him. Remember what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, pray without ceasing. Now, Paul was not saying we should spend all day, every day, on our knees, because the scripture doesn't tell us a specific posture for prayer. When we looked at that passage, what we saw was Paul was saying we should always be in a state of prayer, always in communion with God. So at any moment of any day, we can just turn whatever the situation or the circumstances we are in, we turn them over to God and say, Lord, here is this situation, this is what I'm planning to do, I hope you will bless it. I don't know what to do, please give me wisdom in knowing what I should do. And it's a permanent state that you're always in communion with God, something we should be very enthusiastic about. We should be very zealous for godliness. If we are true believers and if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to be more like him. And that means in every way. And so we should always be seeking to recognize sin when we are tempted. We should always be seeking to do the right thing. We should always be seeking to be helpful to people. Being godly is not just about knowing what the Bible says. Being godly isn't just about praying. Being godly is how you live. And we should seek to live in a godly manner. And we should work at that. We should be zealous for it. We should be zealous for evangelism. We should be zealous for seeking to spread the gospel locally and throughout the world. And so we should seek to pray for those people who are laboring in the gospel. We should seek to support them financially as well as we are able to. And we should seek ourselves to speak as we have opportunity. Now, some of us aren't very good at talking to people. Some of us are brilliant at talking to people. Some of us are better at writing something in an email or on a blog. Some people are better at writing things and getting things published. We do what we are best at, and we should be enthusiastic about it. So how zealous are you? If you are interested, I do have a long string of references here. Not just Numbers 25, but 2 Samuel 21, 2, 2 Kings 10, 16, 2 Kings 19, 31, Psalm 69, 9, Psalm 119, verse 139, Isaiah 9, 7, Isaiah 37, 32, 59, 17, 63, 15, Ezekiel 5:13, John 2:17, that's Jesus cleansing the temple, which is a quote, one of the Psalms. His zeal for God's house will consume him. Acts 21:20, 22:3, Romans 10:2, we've seen. 1 Corinthians 14:12, the Corinthians were very zealous for manifestations of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 7:11 and 9:2, they went a bit overboard in punishing the sinful member. Galatians 1:14, 4:17 and 18, we've seen. Philippians 3:6, Paul talks again about his zeal in persecuting the church. Colossians 4:13, Paul urging great concern. Titus 2:14, zeal for good works. And Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, which is a verse that precedes one that is often quoted. 3:19, those whom I love I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. People often usually don't quote verse 19, they just jump straight into verse 20. So, am I zealous? What am I zealous for? I think we're all zealous for something, but what is it I'm zealous for? Am I zealous for the things of God? So who comes first in our lives? For what are we zealous? Our own comfort, our own interests, or God's glory, the work of God? Are we zealous in considering what people think of us? Or are we more prepared to keep our mouth shut and conform to what the world thinks that we should be like? Are we afraid of being considered weirdos, fanatics, enthusiasts? Well, if we are true believers, that's what the world thinks already. So let's go to the world and do them good, including doing them good by communicating the gospel to them. Let's be zealous for the things of God and zealous for the souls of men. Questions or comments?